Nearly 500 years ago, in the year 1498, explorer Christopher Columbus set off for his third of four voyages. On his first transatlantic voyage in 1492, he had discovered the new world of the Caribbean, and on his second he had returned to begin the European colonization of the Americas. Both had been challenging but successful enough for him to be asked to return and look for a new continent. After visiting the island of Hispaniola once again, now known as the Dominican Republic, they sailed to South America and were the first Europeans to set foot on the continent. The voyage was beset with difficulties and even led to the arrest of Columbus, accused of being a tyrannical governor of the new colonies. Fast forward to 2017, and in the north of England, in Yorkshire, plans are being made to follow in the footsteps of Columbus and to trace the route of his third voyage in a new expedition called Survival, a voyage of discovery and conservation. I'm Maisie Finlayson, and I visited the man behind Survival, Richard Priestley, at his home on the site of a historic inland shipping dock in the Yorkshire town of Nottingley, to find out more for Boat Radio. I started by asking him what had inspired him to plan the expedition.
Survival Voyage, at its heart, sends out a message of achieving your goals and following your dreams, basically. I've personally always been an admirer of Columbus and the voyages that he took and, you know, obviously discovering the new continent of America. Now, there are a lot of charity events that occur we get involved in day to day, but I just figured, let's do something different. Let's do something a bit more far-fetched. Let's recreate one of Columbus's voyages for charity, local charity, Prince of Wales Hospice, and the Sea Shepherds, who do a great deal of really good work conserving the ocean and the creatures in that. So I figured, you know, let's try and put something together which is quite a bit different, and like I say, far-fetched in many people's eyes. But yeah, so it's taking shape at the minute. We aim to recreate the third voyage. The design of the project itself is we want to raise money through sponsored crew memberships and also sort of live music events, which have already taken place, to raise enough capital to actually purchase the boat, which we will use. On our return, we will then be selling the boat, and all the proceeds from that boat will be going to the two charities. So it's sort of a self-funding design, which hopefully, if we can get enough exposure and get enough people interested and get enough crew members applying, it's going to take great shape. We're going to be able to succeed, buy the boat, do the journey, return home successfully and sell the boat and raise a hell of a lot of money for charity.
Could you tell me a bit more about your role maybe on the boat and what you'll be doing throughout the voyage?
My role on the boat, I'm not the captain. We've got my good friend Philip Donner, who is a very experienced seaman. I have a lot of faith in Philip. I've been on many sailing trips with Phil. He's a sort of fountain of knowledge as far as boats and sailing is concerned, so we're in very safe hands with him. But myself, I'm, if you like, the explorer. That was probably sort of how you describe my position. I've mapped out the route. I'm sort of investigating the various points of call in terms of the countries we'll be visiting, and in terms of the time scheduling and everything like that, with a little bit of cooperation from Philip as well, because as I say, he knows more than I do about the logistical, physical issues of sailing. But I mean, it's kind of, I suppose you may say that I'm like a co-captain without the control that Phil will have on the helm.
So you mentioned that you'll be stopping off at different countries. Will you be doing different like work or charity events in those countries, or you just are stopping off along the way?
Yeah, no, we're not going to be doing any charity events during the voyage, but what we are going to do is periodically when we visit the various countries, we're going to be feeding back to people on the website, on our blog and our Facebook page, the experiences, photographs and videos of how cultures and the different landscapes have changed since the days of Columbus. For example, you know, we've got streetlights now, we've got modern facilities. There's also another element, the wildlife element, you know, the sea life element. Back then, all those years ago, there was an abundance of certain fishes and certain land mammals, because we will be spending some time on land as well, like exploring as Columbus did. Not in quite the scale of time, we're sort of condensing it slightly. But we'll be able to feed back the changes, you know, how man has either improved or, you know, sort of damaged in some situations, some circumstances, the wildlife and the marine species that are present.
When will all of this be happening?
We're going to be setting sail, weather permitting, the beginning of November 2018, so next year. So we've got about 18 months to go to raise these funds to make it happen. Obviously, weather permitting, so we're going to give ourselves a buffer of around a week either side, just in case we've got some choppy seas or it's not the right time to set sail. So, yeah, November next year.
You must be giving up quite a bit to go on this voyage. I mean, what were the reactions from your friends and family when you told them about the concept?
Well, I do get mixed reactions, I must say, because as I said before, it's quite a far-fetched idea to sail for more or less 6 months, visiting all these countries and covering, you know, thousands of nautical miles. Some people have said, you're insane, you're crazy, what are you doing? Others have said, wow, that's such an amazing thing. You've just taken this, something that you love, and turned it into something which will benefit some charities, some really good causes. And also, it does have an educational element to it as well, which we will be focusing on quite a lot. Within that, I've got a couple of talks at local universities to try and encourage gap year students who may have already budgeted to spend a year travelling, maybe in Southeast Asia, just getting drunk and having a great time. But they could, as an alternative, especially if they're studying, say, history or marine biology or art or something like that, they could come along on the voyage, discover the world in the most amazing way, and put it down on their CV. They could do their own case study, you know, relevant to their own particular subject, either in further education or employment.
Was there ever an idea to do it in a replica of Columbus's boat?
I'll be honest, the thought never crossed my mind. I have been asked that question, but I think it's that element of danger and that element of risk, which it's the route that we're doing. We're retracing the steps. To replicate the voyage in a boat similar would really add a lot of risks. He didn't have the equipment. He didn't have the flotation devices in case we come across, you know, a dangerous situation. And so in terms of bringing people along, as I say, who've never sailed before, it's a kind of a beautiful idea to create, you know, recreate it exactly. But logistically and for safety reasons, you know, it really wouldn't be sensible. I mean, for example, as I say, SOS, you know, devices and flotation dinghies and, you know, life rafts, etc., it just would be a nightmare. So it's not crossed my mind before, but I have been asked that question, but it's just something which we couldn't really consider doing.
It's going to be quite a dangerous voyage at some points. Will you be doing training with the crew beforehand, or will that be all on the boat while it's happening?
We aim to, you know, discuss with crew prior to departure. You know, these safety elements, we will always be wearing a life vest, for example. There's just various obvious safety protocols which we will follow for insurance purposes too, because we're going to be fully insured as individuals as a boat. And so that's very important that we're all on board with that. In terms of any dramatic situations that occur, we're going to be drilled on that. And I'm sure Philip will put his thoughts through straight away before we depart.
So could you tell me a bit about Columbus's third voyage?
Columbus on his third voyage, in my mind, because he did four voyages, the third one is the more interesting route, in my opinion. He covered more countries, and he, on that voyage, it was the voyage where he actually discovered the continent of America. So it's quite significant in that way, but it's also the more interesting route. He travelled from Sanlúcar, Spain, Cadiz. He then went on to Madeira, down to the Canaries, then down to Cape Verde, across the pond, across the Atlantic to Margarita Island, then Venezuela mainland. And then there's a bit of a grey area at that point, because he did visit some smaller islands, but they're not recorded, they're not named. So at that point during survival voyage, we will sort of just have a more loose handling on that. We'll maybe just do a little bit of exploring like he did. So it adds a bit of genuinity to it. And then north up to Dominican Republic, and then back the very long stretch, about 4,000 miles back to Spain to return. So it's, you know, that's going to take approximately 6 months' time on sea and on land. And we aim to, you know, as I say, feedback to everybody watching, anybody who's interested, and you can sort of be a part of it. You know, I mean, on the social media sites, you can post comments of your own. We can feedback in a sort of real-time situation. Whenever we get some Wi-Fi, we can use the satellite on board as well. And I think it's just going to be, you know, just really interesting for anybody who's going to be following this voyage.
The idea to recreate this voyage, was that something that you thought about for a long time, or was it like a sudden eureka moment?
If you like, it was a sudden eureka moment. Yeah, well described. I really can't remember the exact moment when I thought of this, but I just, it was the idea of the people involved in the project, making the project happen, getting out of that, you know, the experience that which they would have, you know, they'd put value on that anyway. Like I say, the students taking the year out to travel, they get a lot from that. Or they could do this and help some really great causes along the way, which I think is just, it's a beautiful cycle of benefit for anybody involved.
So when does a concept or an idea like this become reality?
I guess it becomes reality once you, in your own mind, decide that I'm going to go for this, and you start making arrangements, you start making communications. I've had a lot of help from local businesses. For example, the website was an old friend of mine from high school. I discovered he had a web business locally, and obviously I'll do some advertising of his business. I'll put his logo on there. I've said a big thank you online to him, but he's done a cracking website for us. And little bits like that, just helping to put it all together.
I'm Maisie Finlayson, and you're listening to Boat Radio. I'm talking to Richard Priestley about his plans to follow in the footsteps of Christopher Columbus. We'll hear more from Richard after this short break.
Bonny Lass Charters is Mallorca's number one experience.
Bonny Lass is a 57-foot converted fishing boat. She was built in 1949 as a herring ring netter in Scotland, and now she's set up for the Mediterranean. Apart from just relaxing in the sunshine on the deck, there's paddleboarding and any kind of exploring you can imagine up along the north coast of Mallorca here, quite often with Maggie the dog in tow as well. Bonny Lass Charters is unique because no charter is really the same. We work really hard to make it the perfect day for each individual client. To be able to go out and enjoy the day with the guests on board is just fantastic.
For more information and to make a booking, visit bonnylasscharters.com.
My name is Matt Rutherford. I am the only person in history to have circumnavigated the Americas nonstop. I've sailed alone across the Atlantic twice, I've crossed the Pacific, I've sailed through the Bering Sea and around Cape Horn. I understand the challenges you will face trying to accomplish your blue water dreams. And I know how important it is to have the right boat. Whether buying a blue water boat or selling your blue water boat, Rogue Wave Yacht Sales has the experience to make that happen. Email me at matt@roguewaveyachtsales.com.
You're listening to Boat Radio. I'm Maisie Finlayson, and I'm talking to Richard Priestley about Survival, a voyage of discovery and conservation. An expedition which will be following in the footsteps of Christopher Columbus. I asked Richard how much has changed for a sailor between the original voyage in 1498 and the present day.
It's going to be quite a lot different from back then. For example, we are using one small boat. It's a fiberglass boat. It will be a fiberglass boat. We've not obviously got the boat just yet, but we aim to get a boat which will be about 35 feet, minimum 35 feet, because we're aiming to have six crew members on board. So with that in mind, we do have some more modern facilities that Columbus didn't have, such as a fridge. We'll have a running warm shower. Columbus used, you know, very old school techniques to navigate, but we've got laptops and we've got autopilot, and it's going to be actually quite a bit more simple for us to do this journey, because obviously modern man, we've researched the world, we've mapped it all out, we've got all this modern equipment to help us. So yes, Columbus did have six large ships, three of which went straight to Hispaniola, which is the Dominican Republic as we know it now, and then the other three continued on the same journey that we'll be taking. But they were large wooden boats, they didn't have fridges. They were big boats, but there was a lot of hands-on sailing involved, lots of rope work, which we won't necessarily have to do. But during that time, as I say, you know, we're going to be feeding back. It's going to be lots of opportunities to make videos and take lots of photos. So it does help in that way. But we're on our own. There's just one small boat, so there are risks involved. We're quite aware of that. You know, sailing is inherently dangerous because you're playing with the ocean, which is a big, ferocious beast. So we must bear that in mind, and we must respect the environment and not take unnecessary risks.
So you just mentioned the boat, but how big will your crew be?
Well, there's going to be myself and Philip, the captain, and four other members, perhaps a fifth member. Depends really on, you know, the interest we can gather for this voyage, and indeed, nearer the time, the boat that we can purchase. But with that in mind, I think approaching somebody selling a boat which will be right for us with this project in mind and expressing why we're buying it, we may be able to get a good deal. And also on our return, my idea, because we're going to have such a lot of media surrounding this voyage and what the boat has achieved, everybody likes to know where a boat's gone before they buy it. You know, where has it sailed? What can it do? Well, this boat will have done a hell of a lot. So in my mind, you can possibly add a little bit of value to the sale when we eventually sell it, when we return. So maybe the money we spend on the boat in the first instance, we could potentially make quite a lot more when we sell it for the charities.
How can you, as a crew member, get involved with the voyage?
If you're interested in becoming a crew member, please go on the website survivalvoyage.co.uk, have a look at what we're doing. The email on there that comes directly to myself, you can apply. There are various legs of the journey which you can come and join us on. For example, Spain to Canaries. You could come and join us on that leg, or you could do the whole voyage. There are sort of there's a price list, if you like, on the website, which you can have a look at. You don't have to have any sailing experience to get involved in this project, okay? Many people say, oh, well, I can't sail, I've never sailed before. That's ideal, because, as I say, we're going to be making videos and photographs. There's nothing better than somebody who's never been sailing before, and the reaction of seeing a school of dolphins swimming off the back of the boat with you for hours on end. You know, to get that reaction of somebody who's never experienced that is wonderful. So I do encourage people to not think, I've never sailed, I can't do this. You can. It'll be amazing. You'll have an amazing time. You're in safe hands. Please come forward, get on the website, drop us an email, and we'll talk further. And if you are interested, if you do want to get on board, we'll make you a profile on the site, and you can be a member of the crew and get all excited. It's just going to be a fantastic thing.
How much time will it take up to be a volunteer of the crew?
Well, it really depends on, if you wanted to join us on the full trip, then it's going to be approximately 6 months. So there is a sacrifice in terms of, if you're a full-time worker, you're going to have to discuss that with your boss. If in the case of a student, you've got a year out, shouldn't be a problem at all because you've got a year off. But it really does depend on, for example, if you were to, just reading here, if you were to do the Canaries to Cape Verde run, you're going to give yourself 2 to 3 weeks. Now, the actual sail itself will take approximately 10 days, but due to sort of changes in weather, we want to set off when it's safe. And so in terms of that, and we also want to spend a little bit of time on land exploring and, as I say, noting the different changes as time's gone on. So we give 2 to 3 weeks for that leg in particular. So the sail, as I say, 10 days, but you'll be away for 2 to 3 weeks.
So you just mentioned, like, noting down different changes on the route. Will you be writing about them on the website and making sort of a page about that?
Well, yes, we will. We will have a blog continually being updated day to day. Sometimes we will not be able to make posts on particular days due to weather, due to perhaps not having any connection. But we'll be taking the snaps and the videos and everything and condensing that and putting that forwards next time we have connectivity.
One of the charities that you're working with is Sea Shepherd. Can you tell me a bit about what they do and why they're one of the charities that you've chosen to work with?
Sea Shepherd are absolutely fantastic in what they do. They preserve marine life. For example, illegal whaling. They get ex-military boats and they stop them doing it. They stop them killing the whales. You know, they go out there and do some great work. They're funded only by people who put projects like this together, people who just give them the cash to, you know, volunteers and such. But they do an awful lot to you know, stop, you know, habitats being destroyed, endangered species being killed. And it's just, they need help, you know, they need continual help. And I think they are probably, you know, obviously very relevant to what we're doing here because we're experiencing a voyage, we're experiencing the beauty that the ocean and various countries can offer. But without these species that have been protected by the Sea Shepherds, it wouldn't be as beautiful. So they need help. They will get our help, and we're fully behind what they do.
So a Sea Shepherd, a charity that you've supported for a long time?
I've always known of the Sea Shepherds and admired what they've done. But now I think I've got an opportunity to actually make a contribution to them. They love the idea of Survival Voyage, what we're doing here. So they're fully behind us, fully support what we're doing. They've posted and reposted on their own website to gain interest for us. And I think, you know, yeah, they're going to be fully appreciative of the voyage. From start to finish, they're loving what we're doing.
So before all this started, what originally got you interested in sailing?
I have always sort of been fascinated by the sea, things that float on the water from being a young boy. And I think it was the family holidays, which I was taking away with the parents back in the day. You get the mini cats and the little hobby cats to use as part of the facilities of the hotel. And I just the feeling of the wind taking the sail and being able to control that, and just, it's kind of a natural feeling, and I enjoyed that. And I just sort of, from then, just, you know, strength to strength in terms of my interest in sailing. And now I'm going, my last sailing trip was a 6-week sailing trip around Cuba, which was fantastic, discovering small islands, uninhabited little islands there in Keys. And it's just wonderful. And I have a great love for sailing, being out there in the ocean. As all sailors who are listening will know, there's nothing better.
So you're obviously going to have to give up quite a few months of your life to this voyage. I mean, how does that work with your normal life?
Yes, that's a good question. Well, I'm an estate agent. So, you know, I have a full-time job, just a regular job, if you like. I'm a regular guy doing a regular 9-to-5. My boss, my employer, they're aware of this project, and it's a very important project to me. And indeed, it's, as I say, it's a charity event. It's for the local community, and it's for the preservation of the ocean as well at large. And so I've already teed up my boss and said, look, you know, this is a sacrifice I'm making in terms of time. You know, in 2018, I'm not going to be working for 6 months. When I return, do I still have a job? Yes, Richard, you do. So in terms of that, it's, yeah, I'm going to be sacrificing 6 months of wage. But this trip is something, it's a dream voyage for myself. And to be able to do this in conjunction with raising money for charity is fantastic. Yes, I'm sacrificing, as I say, 6 months wage. I don't mind that. I think it's a fair deal. Just as long as we can make this happen, make it a success. I'm putting a lot of time and effort in. Unpaid, I don't care, because I like the idea of this project prior to setting sail. But I just, you know, I want it to be a success. Everybody's behind us on this. My employer, my family, my friends, my girlfriend. Although saying that, she keeps saying to me, really, 6 months? You're going to be away from me? So yeah, there are hurdles to cross in terms of that, but we're getting there. We're getting across them.
I know you mentioned that Sea Shepherd is one of the charities you'll be working with. Could you tell me a little bit about the other charity you'll be working with as well?
Yeah, we've got Sea Shepherds and we've got the Prince of Wales Hospice. So obviously the Prince of Wales Hospice, they help people at the end of their life. They give them some level of comfort. We have a Prince of Wales Hospice in my local town of Pontefract. I've had a number of family members and friends who've benefited from what they do, but they are you know, they rely on donations to do what they do, and they do a very, very good thing for people and families. So to me personally, I wanted to include the Prince of Wales Hospice in this, because they've done so much for people I know and people who have meant a lot to me.
Have you got anything else that you want to say about the voyage?
I'd just like to say to anybody listening, you know, please, if you're, you know, if you've got a little bit of spare cash, a little bit of spare time, if you like the idea of Survivor Voyage, you want to get involved, please do. It's going to be a fun trip. It's going to be, you know, a real discovery. If you want to see the world and you just, you know, twiddling your thumbs a little bit, maybe you're retired. You know, anybody can get involved in this. You don't have to have sailed before. If you have sailed, bonus, you're more than welcome. You know, any experienced sailors out there who like the idea of what we're doing, please come and join. Please come and join in. It's for two really great causes. Without you guys applying, this will not happen. We need to get people applying. We need to get people down on the float plan, and then we can make it happen. We can make it be a great success. And potentially, we can do another one of these in 2020 or 2021. I think it's a great design for a project, but we need your help. Please go to survivalvoyage.co.uk. Check it out. Get in touch.
Richard Priestley, the man behind Survival, a voyage of discovery and conservation, talking to Boat Radio about his plans to follow in the footsteps of Christopher Columbus next year. And we'll catch up with Richard again in the future to hear the latest about his expedition. I'm Maisie Finlayson. Thanks for listening.